news.
Lies and innuendos, and I don't look forward to losing Pacifica to those kind of people. So it's a very serious issue that the people that came up with the bylaws wanted to have happen. And I think Spreen's motion makes a lot more sense that we do it in stages, even though I'm going to be a quote beneficiary unquote for having to serve an extra year, which I may not want to do anyway, but I'd have to. It's just the fear. I have the fear of the 24 people and the possibility of an easy takeover with money. Thank you.
Point of information, please.
Yes, good.
What was that last person's name and station affiliation? I didn't hear it.
You'll hear Wagon, WBAI.
Okay, thank you.
Vanessa, I have you right after Lydia.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to say is that
I'm sorry, Benito was right after Lydia.
That's okay, I can wait.
All right, good.
You ready?
Yes, go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. So one of the comments that is constantly invoked was at the creation of the bylaws and the holy grail of the bylaws. The bylaws failed when it came to KPFK, I know, because I was the lab chair. And it finally passed by one vote. So it only passed by one vote on the LSB. It only passed on the PMB because the chair said it was a straw vote. It went to court because, thinking it was a straw vote, the four directors from WPFW abstained, and they did not realize that their vote would therefore not be counted since they were in opposition to this. So let's not reinvent. I know the people who participated in it, they felt very strongly about this. But the issues about the takeover, nothing is being said, and there have been no efforts through all of these bylaws amendments that come up every single year to correct the very things that you're most concerned about. As I said, we don't even require a bio from people. We don't know who people are. We don't have any kind of campaign expenditure restraints put in there. People just seem to like to moan about it and create this environment where we start becoming and sounding like we're a cult instead of an open organization that puts in place some reasonable measures to protect its mission, but at the same time is open enough to allow some sound thinking from the many people and the many wonderful listeners who are out there. And so, so let's not start reinventing everything. I personally voted against these bylaws. I'm proud that I did. Some of the things I really like in it and some of the things I don't. I don't have anything against elections, but I do think that the way it was put together and the lack of safeguards that has perpetuated this fear of the grand takeover, whereas I have seen the takeover happen incrementally from year to year and cycle to cycle. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Vanessa, you're next.
Okay, so just 2 points. One is in terms of the cost. If I'm understanding Janice's motion correctly, because it mirrors one that I was trying to put together myself, my understanding is that there would be one big election, a combined election, and then the terms would be staggered. So people who were elected at the top of the stack would get 3-year terms, and those who were elected, or something to that effect. But it would be, as I understand it, and I trust that Janice will correct me if I'm wrong, it would be one combined election, which is one of the reasons I initially supported it. It would save money. The lack of money is what got us into this mess to start with. Which was not having enough money to do an election. So it's just real. It's just a factor. And in terms of the, I guess what's been cast by some as an unrealistic fear of having people take over or having like X number of people who would form a majority, in my opinion at least, I feel like we've seen some of that, not enough to take over, but some of that at PFW, where a couple of well-funded people who went out and then raised more money in the community, and they organized well and got a bunch of people on the LSB who are basically, in my opinion, serve as pocket votes for them because those people never show up. But whenever either one of the two people who organize well need some votes, they call in those absentee LSB members, and they show up to vote for the LSB members that got them on the board. But they don't have any commitment. You know, they just got votes through somebody else's organizational efforts. And I think that, and it's really created a lot of problems at PFW in terms of we could barely make quorum, not enough people to do committee work. I mean, we went on, we'd existed like that for like a year and a half, and it was only like recently, like within the last month or two, remedied in terms of filling those really essentially vacant seats, people who just repeatedly don't show up. So to me, that's another danger of well-funded people with bad intention who are more interested in the power grab than service to the station, exerting, having the opportunity to exert undue influence on the composition of the body. So again, I respect Janice's intention because I felt like I had the same intention and I really tried to push it hard. And then the possibility, if not the probability, looking back at Pacifica's history and the history of these stations, you know, demonstrates that some of this has already occurred. And one person said, oh, well, just a couple of people, a couple of bad eggs can create chaos. Well, then how much worse is it if it only takes one or two people to create a lot of chaos, if you have, you know, this elected mass of people or several people who are elected, you know, with an agenda, who are gotten in through the influence of money and good organizing with an agenda. So, again, for all the reasons that I respect Janice's motion, the fatal flaw to me is the opportunity that it presents for people with bad intention to do great harm.
Thank you. Benito?
Okay, well, number one, I think that a number of people have spoken to some real problems with the elections and some real problems with the bylaws. But I think two of the people who spoke tried to suggest the solution to some of these problems, which is to change the bylaws. You know, to add to the woes that have always been mentioned about LSB members.
It's hard to hear you. You're sort of coming and going. I'm not sure what you can do, but try something.
Okay.
Lower, please, and louder.
Yeah, or maybe call, just hang up and dial in, try to get a cleaner line.
But certainly, right at the end, Benito.
Okay, but how's this?
That sounds good.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I guess what I'm trying to say is that both Janet Kay and Lydia have both indicated a way had resolved some of the problems that a number of us have spoken to in terms of the quality and type of LSB members that we are now getting as a result of no qualifications. I mean, folks can run for the LSB and they never even listen to the damn station. Forget about qualified in this way or that way. They don't even listen to the station, and they can still get elected. All you got to do is pay 25 hours. So obviously, some changes have to be made to the bylaws. And we have a perfect opportunity now, and we can begin to talk about it in the second part of this meeting. But I would like the people who are worried about this takeover to respond to this idea about what about let's make some bylaw. Let's, you know, try to make some bylaw amendments in the next few weeks. Number one. Number two, I spoke earlier about the umbrella, or excuse me, the microscope that we're under as a result of this AG inspection. No one has responded to that, and I would like the people who are, you know, advocating a serene motion to speak to that. You know, if the AG asks you, how do you justify postponing the election some more and extending these terms even more, what kind of answer are you going to give to the AG, especially if we're going to say that we're trying to clean up the mess that was created in the past?
George,
I'm sorry, I heard very low. Somebody, who was it?
Mal for the stack.
Lawrence to the stack.
And Bob to the stack.
Before I take Mal, Lawrence, and Bob,
I want to respond to Benito.
Anybody hasn't spoken yet that would like to?
Well, after everybody else speaks, Vanessa to the stack.
And Nancy. Nancy,
okay.
Please.
Nancy, go ahead.
Benito was speaking.
Benito finished speaking, and I'm asking for people who hadn't spoken yet. I'm going to give them preference. Do you want to speak?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Are you talking to Nancy?
That's who I thought I was talking to.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, what I'd like to say is I think we really need to make stricter or more realistic or more responsible requirements of board members so that they are required to do work, like keep up membership in committees. I don't know how many. I mean, I'm in a lot of committees, but I have a lot of time. But I think we have most of our board at KPFT, they're not coming to any committees at all, national or local. So this is not good. This is not good. I mean, we need some. And then about attendance, we really need more realistic. I mean, people are shocked when they find out, you know, like on our board, we have one member who has not been there in over a year and still gets excused each time. I don't want to judge her, this person's, you know, what's the reason, but if we had more stricter in the bylaws requirements of being responsible and be required to attend at least 75% of the time, or maybe 66% of the time, and then keep up membership in local or national committees, we wouldn't have people that are not undesirable. And about the bylaws, bylaw is sort of, in my opinion, it's a guide.
Please speak to the issues about the election and the two motions.
That's what I mean. It's the bylaws or any kind of law is just a kind of guide, in my opinion, and not a strict mandate. I mean, it's the spirit of the law that is more important to follow. So I really think we need some bylaws about this to get more better candidates rather than just complaining or trying to think that if we have more staggered elections or just one dig that, you cannot really predict if you're going to have somebody. But if you have stricter requirements of responsible work that they have to do and attendance, then you're going to get better people. That's what I think. Okay. And I think as a safety, I would go with Serene's motion, and I you know, and I'm very happy that all of us are trying to do the best that we can on this and Janet's work. I know, but too much worrying about bylaw. It's the spirit of the law. Okay, I'm finished.
Thank you, Mel.
Well, I wanted to respond briefly to Benito. My thought is that basically our listeners are our listeners, and they don't want to get involved in most cases in leadership. And we have seen at KPFA at least, and I suspect it's been similar at other stations, that we only have a finite number of people that want to be elected and are competent people, and I think it would be difficult, if not impossible, to find 24 competent people who are willing to run for the board at any one time. God knows it's hard enough at 12, and I'm not talking about Sun Myung Moon taking over. I'm just talking about the members, the listeners, really don't want to get involved in the leadership mostly, and those few people that do, even fewer of them are competent. So I would strongly urge that we adopt Serene's motion, and with thanks to Janet for trying to do what's right. Period. That's it.
Thank you. Lawrence?
Yeah, so this whole argument about takeover, it kind of concerns me, because I remember when we were trying to come up with a waiver policy, they were saying that it was a person who was the chair of the PNB a couple of years back. It was also IED. She was saying that, well, you know, people from the John Birch Society is going to take over. Well, we've had four elections now, and as far as I'm concerned, there's been some people I don't agree with, but I don't think they're from the John Birch Society or from the Moon Society. So, you know, that argument is very weak for me. So, you know, that even is starting to clarify some things for me. But again, I'm still on the fence in regards to which motion I'm going to vote for.
Thank you. Bob?
Okay. Mr. Chair, before Bob speaks, may I just say good night to everyone? Good night.
Good night, Mel.
Good night.
Thanks, Mel. Good night, Mel.
Bob?
Okay, a couple things. On this question about the risk of a takeover from without or from within. I'm very familiar with the argument that Lawrence just mentioned about if you grant waivers, it's opening the door. I mean, that's been used at several stations, and it's a phony argument. And just because some people use a phony argument citing a takeover through a mechanism that was designed to actually allow the LSB to review applications and decide on them one case by case. And, you know, the fact that what I think about that is irrelevant. That's a very clear bylaw. So therefore, there couldn't possibly be a takeover through people saying that they're poor when they're not really poor and they're really just a surrogate for an outside force. So that's irrelevant. As far as the real forces, you know, again, it could be from outside, and just because it's never happened in 10 years doesn't mean it couldn't happen. I mean, we've seen some things in recent city council and school board elections in different parts of the country where forces that didn't exist 2, 1, 2, 3 years earlier suddenly got organized and took over a body. Now, as far as the concern about, if these are fixable problems, then why don't some of us just support bylaws changes so we can prevent the takeover? Well, I have a couple responses. One is that I actually am one of the people who worked hard, and in fact, it was in a year where the National Election Supervisor said you need to do some sort of policy to prevent undue spending from kind of subverting elections through money. And I put forward a proposal, and it was defeated in the Elections Committee. And furthermore, there were people that threatened that if it were to pass the PNB, they would absolutely file a lawsuit because it was an alleged violation of the California law about every member having the right to communicate with every other member. So, you know, and I'm certainly willing to renew the effort to try to pass something, but we have a very litigious climate here in Pacifica, and I'm not at all convinced that would pass, or that, you know, if somebody sued about it, then it could be in court, and so the election could go on while that's on hold, being litigated. So I don't think that's a fix, although I agree it would be good if it was. As far as anything about vetting who these people are or having them give their bios to run for the board, to me that's all going to accomplish nothing. Okay, people generally do give their bios voluntarily because they think it makes them, you know, look like they're civic-minded or progressive or activist or whatever. And you can't mandate a vetting system. I mean, the vetting system is that other candidates, if they really think someone is suspicious, can try to unmask them during the election, you know, during the debates. But that's a very difficult thing to do. But you can't write a bylaw that is going to force someone to kind of show who they really are. So I don't think there's a fix to that. And that's the bottom line of what I'm saying, is that, you know, even in the unlikely event that we could get support to pass something and, you know, they could make a little bit of impact on this and that it's not sued, that it's not held up in court, I don't think it's really going to stop the problem. It might just sort of nibble around the edges. But ultimately, the only thing that has ever saved this institution, as it did 15 years ago, is a mass organized, you know, effort by the listeners to prevent it from going in the wrong hands. And that was, and we came this close to losing it 15 years ago. It took a gigantic effort and a lot of fundraising, and many, many months, if not years, of organizing to prevent it from slipping away from us. And just the last point, the bylaws barely passed, which Lydia mentioned, that's correct, and there's, you know, serious questions whether it was proper, but the issue had nothing to do with this. I don't recall anyone disagreeing. The sides were differing on questions about affirmative action and representation of people of color and women, and I was very opposed to that aspect of the bylaws, but no, I never heard anyone challenge the staggered election. So that's what I was referring to earlier when I said the founders, or whatever you want to call them, the writers of the bylaws, I think were quite unified. And whatever else they differed on, they did not want everything at stake in one election. That's it. Thank
Janet, for the staff.
Okay. Yeah, Janet.
Okay, so I don't know. What I'm hearing is that some of you are kind of operating out of fear. Oh, we're going to have takeover and da-da-da. And so we have to be careful, so we have to put this... I understand the reason for the staggered elections, but I think we need to be more positive or with what we're about. We have to be what we say we're about. And that is principle and democracy, especially Democratic Pacifica. And so, I mean, to be careful just reminds me of what the U.S. government is doing with all these repressive measures, and, oh, we're afraid we're going to be attacked, so we have to do this. I think Mal was saying that members don't want to get involved. Well, sadly, at KPFA, that's what I'm finding, or that's what it seems, but I want members
to get involved. I want to get members to get more members to get involved. And so we need to do to act to make that happen. We want more members and members to get involved. So I hope that people vote to do the right thing.
This is Serene.
Yeah, Serene.
I'd ask for the floor after Vanessa, and I didn't hear Janet at the time, but who else is on the staff, please?
There's no one else on.
Vanessa left to Serene.
Did Vanessa speak?
I hope that I am. I'm not sure, but I was hoping so.
Had asked for the stack.
Anyway, you're on the stack. You're up now.
Vanessa asked for the stack before I did.
Thank you, Serene. So I just wanted to ask Benito and anybody else who's of the opinion that bylaws changes could be made that would negate the need to be concerned about any possible, maybe takeover sounds too conspiratorial, but I thought progressives sort of realized acknowledged the reality of takeovers that have happened in the world, this country. I work for a union, and I've seen two of them, and it completely changes the nature of an organization. Let us know an example of a couple of bylaws changes that they believe would kind of solve this problem, and then we could just go ahead and safely believe that we could hold one big massive election without possibility of harm to the network. So I'd love to hear an example of a couple of bylaws amendments that people believe would be helpful.
Thank you. Serene?
Is there someone who wanted to quickly respond to Vanessa's question?
Serene, you have the stack. No one, Benito asked to be on there. You do.
I understand that. Thank you. I'm glad the issue of bylaws amendments came up again, since that is what I thought was the primary focus of the Governance Committee, and in particular, since it's 10:07 and there is a bylaw amendment, a bylaw timeline that has been published and approved by the PNB that gives us now, 17 days to have final language available. I hope we can move to that, because I think we've discussed this for quite a bit. I'm hearing a sort of dismissiveness in the approach that some are using to people who have voiced concerns about, you know, turning over our entire governance system in a single election. And, you know, the fact is, if anyone were in doubt about whether or not conspiracies actually exist, please visit Washington, D.C. and look at who's in the House and look at who's in the Senate. And as someone might have referenced this earlier tonight, it began with taking over school boards, and then there were local elections. And now there are a number of states that have state legislatures and governorships that have been taken over in the same pattern. And folks living in those states and who are now subject to the legislation that are coming out of those bodies, they didn't think that when people say, oh, you got to watch out for those folks because there are things that are happening that you're not paying attention to, and things that are intended for different groups. They didn't pay attention to that because it sounded paranoid. So, you know, we're very good on the left at pointing out other people's flaws. I heard a comment about, oh, well, you know, we haven't done this and we haven't done that in terms of the bylaws. But I heard it from someone who's been on the Pacifica National Board for probably 7 of the past 10 years, and I don't recall any of those bylaw concerns coming up in the process of the bylaw changes that get rushed through every year, as this one is being rushed through before we're ready. But I think we've spent enough time on this. I think people are clear about their positions, and I'm not calling the question. I know I can't do that in committee, but I recommend that we simply move on.
I share your sentiment, Serene. Benito, you're next. If there's no one else who feels that they need to speak after that, we'll go to a vote. Benito?
Okay, number one to Vanessa. I don't have any particular concrete responses right now. I think we have to sit down and think about what these possible bylaw fixes might be. And I don't think that off the top of the head kind of responses help. However, to Serene, I would say that I don't think that there's any kind of dismissiveness to the possibility of some kind of force coming and taking over, winning a majority seat on the election, on the LNVs or PNVs. That's why the Senate holds staggered elections. That's why the people in 2003 here at Pacifica, they wanted to make absolutely sure. And so that's why they did what they did. However, since we have a bunch of bad choices that we have to wade through, then the question becomes, what is the greater threat and what is the greater risk? And some folks are saying that the greatest risk is, the threat of somebody taking over. And some other people are saying that the greatest risk is an undemocratic process where we take away people's right to elections, and where we extend terms that were not provided for in the bylaws. And so I'm going to repeat again that it's been drummed into my head over and over and over again, as much as I didn't want to accept it. But it's been drummed into my head that these bylaws are ruled by the California Corporations Code. And California law takes the issue of elections more seriously than anything else, and violations of elections more seriously than anything else. So if the PNB in 2013 and 2014 had decided to not hold in-person meetings and use that money for an election, then maybe we wouldn't be in this kind of spot. But that's what we're at because of past decisions. And so, given the situation we are in, given the fact that we are under the microscope, then what choice do we make, given that we have all the choices are bad? It just so happens that some are worse than others. Which is the worst? Which is the least risk? That's the question that we have to answer. Having said all that, I'm still waiting for someone to respond to my basic point that I've been making several times tonight as to if the AG were to come and ask us, why do you decide to again postpone the elections, what answer are you going to give? Especially if we're trying to say that we're trying to clean up the mistakes of the past.
Wenger to the queue.
The other people have asked questions. You asked us to respond to questions. I've asked the same question. This is the third time I'm asking the same question. No one has responded to that. Now, down through.
Thank you, Benito. John, go ahead.
I think the answer is that we're trying to be fairest to the spirit of the bylaws and to be cognizant of the greatest risks in terms of not necessarily probability, but really expected value. The notion of expected value is the probability of an event times the value of an event. So the value of Pacifica is enormous. Now, admittedly, maybe there's only a 10% chance that somebody would try to do one of these takeover things, but you multiply that 10% times the value of losing Pacifica, and you get a gigantic loss, and we want to avoid that gigantic loss because it's foreseeable, and it's unconscionable, and it's non-fiduciary for us to ignore this expected value of a gigantic loss. 10% times the chance of losing the foundation. So that's why we are proposing to have the elections in not carry put. It's basically, it's a folk wisdom. Don't carry, even the farmers know this, don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's the fundamental thing. Everybody knows that. Even people in the city know you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. So that's the concept here, and trying to maximize our fiduciary value means that we don't put all of our eggs in one basket because we want to avoid that 10% chance of losing the whole foundation. So that's the answer.
Okay.
William for the stack.
A vote on this.
Yeah.
William for the stack.
Sorry, Bob, briefly to answer Benito's question.
Okay, William, then Bob.
Well, this is William here, Wagon, WBAI. I'm sure Bob will answer it better than I can, but I was sorry to hear both Benito and Lawrence talking about that these are both terrible motions, it's a terrible situation that we got in with people just figuring out that we couldn't afford to have elections 2 years in a row. But the issue about the California Attorney General, I think, is more concerned with our money processing, not concerned about the details behind our upcoming elections. I think that the Serene's motion is much better, avoids the possibility of, and I hate to use the word takeover, but let's say the expansion of the money influence in the elections, and that's by people that are already involved in Pacifica politics, not talking about outsiders coming in, Benito, talking about the influence of insiders. You don't seem to have that too much, although I think Vanessa mentioned something about it in D.C., but in other cities in New York and California, there's a lot of that going on. The money buys the votes, just like in the national elections. So I hope you guys can realize that we don't need to put up all 24 people at once and can vote for Serene's motion. Thanks.
Thank you. Bob?
Okay, so to directly answer Benito's question, which I thought I partially addressed, but number one to the AG. Number one, just as the standard in U.S. Supreme Court deliberations and other courts, when they're looking at a legislative body, what was their intent? What was the legislative history? That's a very common, you know, way of analyzing a legal situation. So that's what I was saying before. We go back to the record. I'm sure we can find written records of it, and perhaps there could even be language added in the preamble to the motion the PNB adopts that cites the people, some of whom are still around, who were active then in that bylaws, as to this is why they set up staggered boards, board elections, and that's why this motion stays true to that original intent and to that organization. And the second thing is that it's not delaying any election. Both motions have elections on the identical timetable. The only thing that Serenes does that's different is it gives one half of the board members one extra year. The other extension has already occurred, and neither motion is going to cure the extension of the people, you know, who are going to be up for election this year. So that's over and done with. It's the question of one extra year, and that's not delaying an election. That's organizing it in a way that stays true to the original bylaws, and I think that's a very sound defense that we can absolutely, you know, uphold if the AG should question us about that. That's it.
Can we go to a vote now? Is there anyone who wants to speak?
I have a point of information.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so who's voting? Do we have, is this a meeting of both election and governance, and just, or is everybody voting or just governance committee members?
Just the governance committee members.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I don't hear anyone, so I'm going to go to a vote on this. I'll call the roll. The situation is that Janet's motion is a substitute for Serene's. So if you vote yes on this particular vote, it means you're going to substitute Janet's for Serene. If you vote no, we then have to take a vote on Serene's motion. Lorna Elias. Lydia Brazan.
I'm voting on Janet's motion, yes.
Mal Burns is not here. Maria Elena Castellanos. Benito Diaz. Benito?
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roma. William Heerwagen.
No.
Kim Kaufman. Pat Logan. Tony Norman.
No.
Nancy Sabara Naratomi.
No.
John Wenger.
No.
Margie Wilkinson. Okay, I'm going to abstain. It's five no's, two yes.
Chair, you didn't call me, Lawrence Reyes.
Sorry, Lawrence. I've got an inadequate list in front of me. Which way do you vote?
I abstain.
Okay.
Serene would like to vote.
I'm sorry, Serene. Same thing. Inadequate list. How do you vote?
I vote no.
Okay. So it's six no, two yes, two abstentions. So what's in front of us now is the original main motion, which is Serene's motion. I'll take another roll call vote on that. Yes is to recommend that to the PNB.
Can we just review the content of this?
Serene? Would you briefly state the substance of it? Serene?
Sorry,
can't hear you.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. It means that...
don't we already know what the two motions are?
There was a request for the motion to be restated. I usually honor those requests, so I'm going to do that now. Serene?
I'll be brief. It called for half of the board to be elected in 2015. It calls for the people who were elected in 2012 to stay on until 2016 for their election. It prevents the entire board from being turned over in a single election, which I believe is a primary, if not the primary, intent when the bylaws were being written with a staggered election provision. It does require that at KPFK, where they did not make quorum at the last election, that a full board of 24 be up for election.
John, to the stack, to the queue.
There's no stack, John. We're just taking a vote.
Well, to keep things clear, Basically, I move that there be the Serene's motion be amended to give KPFK two elections as well, so that it has the same protection afforded the other stations.
Well, we haven't actually started to take the vote, so I guess that's okay.
That's my motion. The fact is that KPFK needs the same protection from a takeover as any other station.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, then let me just ask first. Would you clarify, since there were no people elected in 2012, as I understand it?
That was my point.
John, what's the intention of your amendment? Because as it stands, it's not completely clear who's going to be the 12 that are reelected.
Logically, it should be, let me think. Rats. Yeah, I wish I had this in writing in front of me here, Andy. I think we just have to bite the bullet. I think that that we use the same procedure for KPFK as we're doing for the other stations. That's simple. It's there's no complicated mathematics involved. It's just that some people will stay on. I really think, ideally, this election should occur sooner and take effect sooner than December, because
John, this is beside the point. The question was, who are the 12 people that are going to be reelected, and who are the 12 people that are going to be stayed on? Your amendment doesn't speak to that.
Just go by the years of election. That is to say, the people who were elected just make it the same. As the other stations.
That's your clarification. We have a few minutes. Anyone want to speak to the amendment?
Well, here's my problem with what you're saying, Mr. Wenger. No one was elected in 2012. The last election for which you guys had quorum was 2010. So everyone has already served significantly more time than intended. And I don't even know what the status is of your runners-up list, or if you even have one. So it's, you know, I don't see how that's going to work. I mean, I guess for me, and when I say for me, I don't mean that it's about me. I'm trying to understand. I understand your general concern, but obviously the risk of a takeover at one station is bad, but the risk of a takeover at five stations is fatal. So I wish that we weren't in this situation, but I don't see how we can remedy that with regard to KPFK.
So the answer is that...
John, just a moment. You had a chance to speak on this. I'm taking a stack on the amendment. Does anybody else want to speak?
Benito.
Yeah, Benito.
Someone who knows the bylaws better than I can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that if you didn't meet quorum in one election, you're mandated to elect all 24 LSB slots at the next election. What are we going to do? Break the bylaws one more time?
Yes.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
Okay.
Okay, hearing none, I'm going to take a vote on John Wenger's amendment, which is to replace the 12 people who have served longest on the KPFK board in the first election. Lydia Brazon? Oh, let me see. Lona Elias, are you here? Again, this is for the amendment. Lydia Brazon?
I'll abstain. I don't understand it, but okay.
Yes, I don't understand. Could you say it one more time, please? Miss Nancy.
What John is suggesting, John, correct me if I'm wrong, or he's proposing as an amendment, is that the KPFK election, which at the present in Serene's motion calls for all of the 24 people to be elected in this first election, with staggered terms, I gather. Is that correct, Serene?
Yes.
John is suggesting that they, his amendment is that KPFK board would be elected in the same way that all the other boards are, except that because nobody was elected in 2012, they would take the people, 12 people who had served the longest, and they would be up for election. Is that correct, John?
Yes.
Okay. So, Lona Elias, Lydia Brazon.
No, because I don't think it equates.
Benito Diaz?
No.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roma. William Hirogan?
Yes.
Tony Norman?
Abstain.
Andrea Pritchett, Nancy Sabah and Aratomi?
Pass.
Okay. John Wenger?
Yes.
Okay. Serene Roberts?
I am going to abstain, but send me the language.
Okay. Lawrence? Yes.
I'm abstaining as well. You know what? Let me change my vote, John. I mean, George. I'd like to change my vote to a no.
A no. Okay. Well, I'm gonna abstain. The motion fails 3-3.
Did Nancy vote?
Well, I'm sorry, Nancy. You didn't vote. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Is there anybody else I missed?
I'm sorry, John. I'm going to abstain.
Okay. So the motion fails. What's before us is Serene's motion. I'd like to go. Is it? I'll take a roll call vote on that, and we're out of time. Lydia Brazon. Lydia?
I'm sorry. I stepped away.
This is on Serene's motion. On amendment.
No.
Benito Diaz?
No.
William Hirogan?
Yes.
Tony Norman?
Yes.
Nancy Sabara Naratomi?
Yes.
John Wenger?
Yes.
Serene? Roberts? Have I missed anybody?
Yes, Vanessa.
Vanessa.
And Lawrence.
Yes.
Lawrence?
Abstain.
Okay, Vanessa?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to abstain. The vote is 6-2. So I will forward that to the PNB as the recommendation from the Governance Committee. I will do so promptly. Thank you all for, well, unless I hear a motion to extend time, we're out of time.
I want to, give me a extend for 10 minutes.
Yeah, who is that?
Serene.
Is that Serene?
Serene.
Yeah. Okay, Serene wants to extend time for 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none.
Clarification, please.
Yeah.
What are the 10 minutes for?
Well, the next item on the agenda is the
bylaws, isn't it?
The bylaws timeline and whatever questions there are about that. John Langer put that on the agenda. I'll I'll have him explain what he has in mind.
Well, I think I did explain earlier, but briefly, it seems to me that this... I'd like to hear the rationale for it, because I just learned about it this afternoon, and I don't understand where it's coming from, and why do we need this particular timeline? Maybe
okay.
I'm not opposed to it. I don't know. I just don't understand it. So what's the rationale?
No, okay. I just wanted a clarification on the time extension. I'm fine. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I proposed it, and I'll tell you what my rationale for it was. We have considerable concern about the bylaws. We've never been able to get any, hardly able to get any changes, nevertheless. We have an opportunity this year to actually two bylaws amendment processes. The 3 weeks seem to me to be plenty of time for the bylaws amendments to be proposed, partly because there are plenty of them floating around, and the mechanism by which they have always been proposed and has been by six PMB directors making the proposal. So even if you're not on the PMB, if you're a member of an LSB, you need to enroll your PMB members in doing it, and you have 3 weeks to do it. And that gives us enough time so that whatever happens on this, we could have another one if we wanted to. There are two other ways of amending the bylaws, by LSB vote or by petition, which have never been used. And my feeling was I didn't wish to defer that possibility, to give a long time for a possibility which has never emerged when there was a clear need to begin addressing the bylaws changes that we need. So that was my rationale. Anyone else want to speak to this?
This is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
Yes, and so, for example, I'm known for making bylaws amendments. Whether they pass or not, that's a different question. But so they're already ready. I just have to, like, resend them and get the new signers on. I, for example, have changed my position on some of the bylaws that I have voted no in previous years. I am inclined to at least two of them that I can think of that I'm going to vote yes for this year. Every year you have an accumulation of experience with these bylaws, and so you have more testing ground, as it were. So I'm going to be changing my position on two of the bylaws, and so hopefully those will, I mean, they're not my optimum, but they're better than what we have. And so I would like the opportunity. Plus, I think having this early cycle to get those old bylaws out of the way, not that they won't come back, but is also that some of them, at least, you know, one or two may have an impact on the elections, as I articulated earlier. If we vote to reduce the size of the boards of the LSBs, that might have an effect, and I think it can be done in time. But nevertheless, so that's it.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
Yes, Serene.
Go ahead, Serene.
Aside from the fact that I think the proposed schedule should have come to the Governance Committee for discussion, and if such wasn't possible because there's some mess up with the meetings, an email could have been sent notifying people of what was being proposed before it just ended up on the PNB agenda. I also believe that it is inaccurate as it's currently set because the bylaws state specifically that the notice date is 45 days from the date of the first vote. It doesn't say at least 45 days, nearly 45 days, approximately 45 days. It says 45 days, which means that the notice date must be March 23rd, not the 20th that was sent forth and voted on. But aside from that, I don't know that there's been any thought given to the fact that because this is an election year and the ballot is being sent to the listeners, so there may be amendments on which the listeners are required to vote, such as if we were changing the terms of delegates or changing the terms of directors, which are things that I think we should consider, as well as maybe even changing the schedule of our election. 3 weeks, or less than 3 weeks, because, you know, as it stands now with what I believe an incorrect date, we have 17 days before the language has to be final. So there may be people who have, you know, bylaws ready to go, but we've been voting as a PNB, and even before I was on the PNB, you know, we've been voting over the same set of bylaws year after year after year, and they're not going anywhere, but we're still using the same structure to prepare the process. And I just don't think that's very wise. So aside from the fact that there is an error that I intend to raise with the PNB, I'd hope we could get to it on this call, but, I, you know, it's 10:45 here. I just think the process is not as prepared as it should be.
Janet Kay.
Hey, Janet.
So regardless of what is decided, the secretary is responsible to take certain actions about bylaws amendments. So please keep me in the loop and use the following email address, secretary@pacifica.org. That's it.
Please repeat that, or maybe send it to the list.
Well, I'm not on your list, but so it's secretary@pacifica.org.
We have just a couple of minutes. I would like to put in a pitch for the members of this committee, if they are willing, to be willing to listen to a couple of, maybe three for a few people, of the past PNB meetings where we have audio, but we don't have minutes. It would be a good thing if we had minutes for two reasons. One is it would be useful, perhaps, for the Attorney General's investigation, but more important for me would be that we would we would have access to
George.
Please finish speaking, William. I got you.
On the agenda, the next item on the agenda, we didn't finish this current item on the agenda. I don't think you should be pushing something that you like just over what the agenda and the meeting is supposed to be doing.
What would you like to say about the previous item?
Well, weren't we supposed to take a vote on something?
There was nothing to be voted on. I thought people were finished speaking on that item, and so I went on to speak on the next item. There's nothing to vote on.
Oh, excuse me. I thought there was. I'm sorry.
Aren't the 10 minutes up?
It is. In any case, if you're interested in doing that, just send me an email, and we'll arrange to distribute the meetings to be listened to. We are out of time. Thank you all for a committed meeting. Difficult decisions and.
Point of information, George. You said if we have time to do minutes and listen to a stream and do minutes, do we send to Janet, Secretary at KPNB?
When you get the minutes, you send them to her, yeah.
No.
You have to approve the minutes.
So the process, I put myself into this as a means of distributing the minutes. So if you're interested in doing that, basically, I just need to know that nobody else is doing them either, also, that is. When they're done, the minutes have to be sent to the secretary, who would then bring them up to the PNB to be approved.
Okay, so you're organizing it.
You're talking about PNB meetings.
And I would be glad to turn it over to Janet if she prefers, but I suggested I would do that, and she said that would probably be a good idea.
Wait, sorry, point of information, can I?
Yes, Janet.
Maybe I misunderstood. I thought you were talking about governance committee meeting minutes, but you're talking about PNB's committee meeting.
Yes.
Oh, yes, so definitely send it to me. Sorry. secretary@pacifica.org.
Yes, but George is organizing it? or you're organizing it?
Janet, would you prefer to have them talk to you to divvy up the minutes to be listened to, or would you rather I did that?
I would rather you did that.
Okay, so that's the way we'll do
it. All right.
Or let's work together on it at this point.
And we'll probably start with the latest ones first, I think. Okay, thank you all for being here. We are out of time. Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night, everyone. Thank you.